Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Hello, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. Many of us have personal experiences that defy mainstream thinking, and we would like you to join us tonight as we explore the types of experiences that people have, what they mean, and how we can integrate those very special, meaningful experiences into our daily lives. And although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this show centers around your direct experiences, which do not involve a medium. I'm Kimberly Saavedra, director of the Comlock Center, and your co-hosts for this episode of Signs of Life Radio, along with myself, will be Janet Mayer, Forever Family Foundation, certified medium and author of Spirits, They Are Present, and Dr. Betty J. Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There Is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That Is Changing the World. Please take down this telephone number so that you can call in and have a conversation with us, share your comments, your feedback, your experiences. We really do want to hear from you. And the success and meaning of this program depends on your participation. You never know how important your story may be to someone in need of reassurance that there truly is life beyond the physical world and that it is possible to communicate with and receive signs from our loved ones. That number is 888-627-6008. And welcome, Betty and Janet.
Thank you, Kim.
Thanks, Kim.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm really happy to be back with you too. I missed the last two episodes.
Two or three, maybe.
Yeah, it's been a while, so I feel really privileged because this time is so meaningful and important to me. It just kind of reframes things and reorganizes things that kind of just come across the daily screen and seem to have more meaning than they should sometimes. So this is the reset button for me. I really appreciate you both so much.
That's good. Well, we always start by asking you, Janet, what you have meditated on and thought about for tonight for us to talk about.
Well, I guess I could start with, I'm right now in the Pacific Northwest and I've been outdoors a lot. And, as I sit and meditate outdoors, it reminds me of how connected we are to the earth and how our loved ones are connected. And they're not really all that far away. We always picture when one of our loved ones pass that they're way there. And really, they're like in reaching distance. You know, they're near us. They're in a different place. Yes, they're not in the physical, but they are still with us. And I noticed when being outdoors, it kind of revitalizes your soul. And kind of like Kim, you were just saying how, you know, this program, how much it kind of hits the reset button. That's kind of how I feel like when we are outside or outdoors. And I'm trying to encourage people, you know, when they lose a loved one, you know, sometimes you see how they kind of go within themselves. And it's not that they become a shell, but, you know, they're a new person. They're somebody different. They're not the same person after losing a loved one and being so close to someone. And they have to reframe their life. And sometimes they hide out in their house or, you know, they go to work, they do their thing, they come home. And they don't, you know, they don't try to expand on that because of that pain. And I understand that, don't get me wrong. But I think it's really important to also, you know, take time and go sit outside, sit on a rock or hug a tree, which when I go for walks, I always touch a favorite tree. And I feel like I get energy from that tree. And I feel like we get to know each other, which might sound a little odd, but that's how I feel. And I think it's important, you know, if you want, go get yourself a chai tea or a coffee and just take yourself out of the place that you're in that's causing you so much pain and kind of start re-experiencing a little bit And feel that loved one with you, because they are with you. They're in, of course, in a new way, but they're also with you. And I think that it's important that if we just try to remind ourselves to take steps, they don't have to be big ones. You know, they don't have to be, you know, really noticeable or anything, but just do something that pushes yourself out a little bit more. And, you know, then you'll start to even feel the loved ones more, which I know might sound a little odd, but it is true. When we focus too much on them, we get caught in our own stuff. But when we open ourselves up and we say, okay, I need to go do this, sometimes something pops through and you're just, it stops you and you think, oh my goodness, what just happened? You know, like, I know I just felt so-and-so come through, and what a great feeling. And just stop and enjoy it. Who cares if somebody's looking at you? Who cares if you're, you know, sitting on the ground by a tree or a rock or wherever? You know, just try to experience that. So that's where I'm coming from today.
Well, I think that's very significant. While you were talking, I was thinking, how many lives are consumed every day by technology?
Yes.
It's we get up in the morning and many people look at their phones. I don't, unless I'm expecting something, you know. But that's because I'm older. If I were younger, I'd probably be doing that. But not just that. I mean, I spend a lot of time on the computer, or reading, doing research and writing. Well, that's technology. And then many people watch television and or they're on the phone. And I think it must be hard for our loved ones to really come through when we are constantly focused on something else like that. And it's probably important to just reassess our lives and see how many moments or how many hours do I really spend either out in nature or simply sitting and allowing myself to pick up what's coming through. There's a lot
I agree. I agree, Betty.
That makes a lot of sense. And you can see the deep pull of it when you talk to somebody and you see how long it takes them to kind of move their head slightly away and then toward you. Like,
it does
command attention.
And I do worry about young people who spend so much time on the phone. I don't know what I would do as a parent today. I think it's very, very difficult. I know parents who start out by, no, sir, they're going to monitor this and that's not going to happen and this is not going to happen. And somehow it does happen. There's tremendous pull because all the kids' friends are on it. That's how they
get invited to the show
and have friends and that sort of thing. But they also play a lot of games, and I highly suspicious of some of the games that I have seen. So it's I think it's, we are living in a time when it may be just particularly difficult for spirits to get through to us, you know, knock that phone out of our hands or drag me away from the computer, you know.
Right. Well, and the thing too is, you know, spirit, yes, they can come through through a phone. They can come through on the TV. They can come through in music. But we have to allow ourselves to allow that energy to come through. And I think, you know, when I always tell people, oh, you know, you might want to try to meditate, and they cringe. And I'm like, it's not like the old fashioned, you know, like you have to sit like a pretzel and do this and do that. I think it's just, you know, go find a space either in your home, outside, with some friends, however you want to do it. And you can even create your own meditation, you know, and surrounding yourself in light and allowing your loved ones to come through and show you, you know, what they would like to show you for that day, that week, or however, and in whatever way they want to come through. I think people, you know, they think, oh, well, I have to get this exact sign. And I do like when you ask for a sign, don't get me wrong. I'm one for saying, you know, I would love to see this. And then when it comes through, I think that's really beautiful. But I also feel like some people can't always connect that way, and they have to be open to say, okay, how do you want to come through? And you can just kind of sit in silence and allow them to come through and whatever. And there may be something really random that happens, and then just say it out loud, you know, and say, okay, I feel like you're connecting to me through, you know, the trees. And then if you're, you know, out walking and all of a sudden, you know, you feel like you have another sign, you know, just allow yourself to be open to the way that they need to come through for you, because I do feel like most of the time they're trying to come through. But like you said, Betty, a lot of times we are so involved in life, you know, we're not, it's like we're not connected. We're connected to everything but what we're supposed to be connected to. And so, you know, we're on the phone, we're on the computer, we're, you know, texting, we've got that. So I think that that's important.
Yes, they do. And I really agree with you about the structure of meditation. I mean, it just, it is not, we don't have to do it in any kind of formal way. When I'm here in my study alone, and that's most of the time, because when I'm writing, I'm always alone. And I'm thinking and involved in what I'm writing, which is always about these kinds of things. And there were very often I stop. And it's that time that I'm drawn into from whatever I'm writing or thinking to just talk to the spirit, you know, and listen. There's also, I mean, there could just be moments on the train, moments. It just doesn't have, I mean, sometimes you want to just take time out, but I think many moments during the day when we just center ourselves and connect again. And I love the Heart Math Institute, because they have scientifically developed ways that very easily we can do a different kind of meditation from what we thought we were hearing about from the East, you know, because
right.
What they say is that just focus. First of all, focus and breathe deeply for a few times and just focus on your heart. And even touch your heart, because that helps to communicate that this is heart time. So you touch the heart, and then you breathe in on a count of four, and you breathe out on a count of six. The first is shorter, the second is longer, but your focus is on love, because the heart is the organ of soul, which is love. That's its energy. And when you focus on the heart and something you love, breathing in four counts, out six, and focus on the heart, then amazing things happen to the body. You start relaxing. And then if you want to ask your heart a question, you do. And if you just keep breathing, you will begin to understand the answer to it. And if not during that meditation, it will come to you intuitively later. But I think that's an easy way. That can be a few minutes, then you go back to work, you know, and that's very powerful, because not only is your body changed by it, but your heart is changed, because you focused on it and connected with the heart to creation, to the world, just as you were talking about nature. So there are just so many ways. Someone told me that she meditates by getting her coffee in the morning, going out in the garden, and just spending an hour out there with their coffee, just being there.
It's just the presence.
It's the presence.
Just it is. Be there.
Mm-hmm. And that's meditation. Being present is meditation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Before we go on, Kim, would you like to give out the phone number again in case anybody missed it?
Yes. 888-627-6008. 888. 627-6008. We're waiting for you, and so are your fellow listeners out there.
Sure.
If anyone would like to share a story of a loved one that they had, you know, it's, you know, I know that our show is about, you know, something amazing, but it's kind of like any of these stories are amazing because of what is taking place. You know, you're connecting with a loved one on the other side. And yes, okay, and we can continue on too with the meditation. And I was going to mention that I loved what you said, Betty. I thought that was beautiful about the heart, because I have always believed that as well. And, you know, when I was younger, I mean, I've been meditating probably over 30 years. I didn't like what I was reading, what they said, oh, you have to do it this way and you have to do it that way. And I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to make up my own meditation. And that's kind of what I did, because I went with what felt right for me. And I noticed at the beginning, I had a really hard time staying focused in it. I would be thinking, oh, you know, I need to run to the grocery store later and get this. And I got to get this out to this, you know, coworker, and I need to do this. And all of a sudden I was like, well, just carry a pad of paper with you. And so I would always have a pad of paper and a pen. And I would just stop in the middle and write that down to get it out of my head and move forward. And I realized as time went on, I no longer needed that kind of crutch, but it did get me started because I really wanted to meditate.
Yeah. It's and you know, I think in addition to meditation, ritual is important. And there's been so much in the past against ritual. Oh, that's just, you know, empty movements and it doesn't mean anything. But I think, again, we can create our own rituals. We don't have to do anything anybody taught us to do. We create our own rituals out of our heart of what we feel about nature or the time or whatever. And the ritual actually communicates to the body and the mind and the heart what's going on, you know? Mm-hmm. And when we are thinking and feeling something, that is communicated to every system in the body. Candace Pert, the scientist Candace Pert, certainly taught us that. Every thought, every feeling is immediately communicated to every system in the body. And also we now know through science that every thought and feeling is sent out to the biofield, the field in which we live, the quantum field, the field of fields, but the particular field that we're living in, when we are thinking or feeling, that is going out to the field. And it then is like a mirror. It brings back to us the quality of feeling and thought that we sent to it. So if we want a particular kind of world, then we visualize that world or that feeling, that love, because I think we all want that, whether we would admit it or not. That is the creative and most powerful frequency in the universe, is love. And if we put that out into the field, then we change the field.
Right.
And the field then comes back to us with information. So it's not just something that we're sitting here alone doing. Whatever we do has a profound effect in the field that we live. And that affects not just me, but everybody. And any change that we actually can achieve or transformation, that makes it easier for someone else. So we aren't just sitting in a room or out by a tree alone. We are so connected that everything that we think and feel is affecting everything else.
Right. Right. And I think that kind of reminded me as you were saying that, how everything's connected. And I think it's the aspen trees. Is that correct? I could be off. I mean, I apologize if I'm wrong, but I think they have a whole underground root system connected to all the other aspen trees. And I think what I read about that a long time ago, so if I have the wrong tree, I apologize. But when I read something about that, I was just like, wow, you know, when you look at it from above, they all look so individual. But mm-hmm. underneath, there's so much more going on. And it always resonated with me because that's how we are. You know, we all look individual and we all look like, oh, well, you know, people, people, people. But at the same time, underneath, there's so much more to us and there's so much more going on around us. And that has to do with our loved ones on the other side. They connect differently. And I think a lot of times people think, oh, well, so-and-so connected with their loved one this way, but I can't do that. And I'm like, that's okay. That means you connect differently. And, you know, I know that just from different mediums I've worked with. You know, a lot of them, we all do. We connect differently. A lot of times I say, I don't read the same way someone else does. And a lot of the Forever Family mediums, if you've been to any of the grief retreats, you know, have, I guess you get to experience how they work. And everyone is different. Everyone has their own individual way, and they can connect in with each other. And I think that's really cool because it kind of, to me, does like a double validation, which I'm really big on. I like to have a validation and then find another validation right away from, you know, the loved ones on the other side, because I think that, you know, that was just one of my little, you know, perks that I had growing through all my mediumship. But a lot of times the mediums will connect in with another one. And I think, you know, that is so cool. And if only everyone could see that they could see how connected we all are, even though we're individual, and how our loved ones really want to get through to us. And, you know, they show us signs all the time. And I love saying the word signs about it, but in another way, I also don't, because they communicate with us differently. You know, sometimes, you know, it could be through a smell. Sometimes it could be through a touch. Sometimes we could see a vision. You know, I know someone who had an experience. So since we don't have any callers, I'll share a story real quick. Someone I know was telling me that they kept thinking of this person, like unbelievably just kept thinking of this person. And this person, she passed in a different way than what happened to her. But when she was younger, she kind of fell out of her car and ran over herself. But she lived. She had a problem with her leg. But she, you know, he was, this person kept thinking of her. And then he found out somebody up the street, that happened to a woman up the street that day that he was thinking of it. And, you know, and then I got the call and there was like, is there any reason? Do you know why there would be a connection? I said, yes, because that is the birthday of the woman you're thinking of. And it all, it's like, it just kind of all happened around the same time. And I said, you know, that's kind of to me a validation that they're coming through saying, hey, I'm here. You know, you remember when this happened to me? Well, you know, you're going to find out another story. And I'm just letting you know I'm around. And it made me feel really not, I mean, of course, I felt horrible that, you know, the second person kind of ran over themselves, but, and they were okay also. They had problems. But I think what it was for me is it was kind of like, what a weird, quirky incident to happen to two people that somebody knows, but it's a validation in a way to say, hey, I'm coming through to let you know I'm around you right now, and wait till you see what's going to happen. Because, you know, of course we can't stop everything, but it was just kind of amazing when I heard the story and I thought, wow, how weird is that? You know, like, what are the odds? And then I thought, no, that's our loved ones coming through saying, hey, yeah, I'm here. And, you know, it was their birthday. And I'm like, what a weird thing to happen on that day. So I just find it really odd. I hope I said that story okay. I didn't want to, you know, use any names or anything, but I was, you know, given the okay to share it. And I thought that it's interesting that we have to remember that sometimes something around us happens to somebody or someone we love and we're with someone. And then there's another, a same thing happening. And it's kind of like, wow. And I think it's a shared experience, you know?
And it really does let us in on the fact that something's going on that the science that we've believed in for so long cannot explain. The old 19th century science of there's nothing but matter, it just cannot explain that. And I think now with quantum physics, we know so much, but it isn't really spread throughout the world yet. But I think that what we need to start doing as a species is recognizing these kinds of unusual events, and there's so millions and millions and millions of them, and really allow it to change the way we feel in the world, because extraordinary things happen. And the more we're open to them, the more extraordinary and often things happen. I have mentioned before, and probably many of our listeners have heard of the telepathy tapes. And this is about children who many were autistic and had the limitations of autism. But the parents, many parents were saying, my child is reading my mind. He or she knows what I'm going to say before I say it, sometimes even before I realize I'm thinking it. And they were saying, do you have any idea how difficult it is to be a parent when the child is reading your mind? But at any rate, it was much more than that, because then these parents began to realize that these children were connecting with each other. I mean, they were in their individual homes, but through time and space, they were connecting to each other and sharing information. One woman was visiting the mother of an autistic child, and he was in his bed with his pillow over his head. And the mother said, oh, that's what he does when he goes to the hill. Hill is where these children from around the world were meeting and sharing information. And yet they were right there like that one in his bed with the pillow over his head.
Oh my goodness.
So, I mean, and we hear so many stories of after-death communication and near-death or actual death experiences in which the person returns with incredible experiences. And yes, it is changing it for a lot of people. It's got to come to the point in which it changes it for the world, that we know there's too much information to deny that the world is really, as Lynn McTaggart says in her book On the Field about the new science is magical. It's about magic, about miracles, because that's what it looks like to us, because we've been so dulled down by nothing but matter nonsense that we haven't been able to be open to the miraculous nature of existence. And these kinds of experiences help us to, and we need to start putting them together in our minds and realizing the kind of miraculous world we live in. And it will change our perception of everything.
Right, right. Well, and Betty, too, the name of the woman who does the telepathy tapes is Kai Dickens. So if anybody's out there, if you get a chance to listen to them, I mean, they are amazing. And it really is earth. It's changing. It's earth changing. I mean, it's going to really bring it.
There are many people I hear from many people, and they seem to be just deeply involved in their own journeys, and they're talking about their journeys. Some will say, I'm just beginning this, or others, I've been in it, and this is what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I think that 40 years ago, I don't think that would have happened, you know?
Right, right. Well, and I think that's true. You know, we think that, you know, all those years ago that death was the end, that, you know, but when we know what we know now is that it's part of the journey, that this is part of what happens, and that they are still with us, and that we receive, you know, many, you know, visuals or signs, or I can't think of the word I wanted to say, but it's that they come through to us in many ways. And I think that, you know, we get so plugged into our grief that we sometimes, you know, forget to look for that, or we're so busy trying to look for it that if it's right there, sometimes we do miss it. And then people are like, oh no, I know I missed a sign. It's like, nope, you have to let it go. They're going to come back. They'll come back at the right time. They will let you know. You know, I always say my grandmother came to me almost 20 or 30 years later, and I hadn't seen her until then. And it just blew me away. And it was so amazing. And I thought, wow, you know, and I kind of look at some of the experiences I've had are really important for a shared experience to show other people that, you know, mm-hmm. this can happen. If you, just because you lost someone, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, it doesn't mean that they're gone. They've moved on. And maybe, you know, you feel like you have moved on, and that's important, but they're still with you. They'll always mm-hmm. be connected in some way. You know, there's always going to be that connection. So I think that's important to remember that. But I think we should share the number again. I don't know if anybody who's out there, if they're just listening to our stories, or if they want to call in and share an experience. And Kim, feel free to join our conversation.
Okay. I was looking back at an email from you, Janet, from 5 years ago, within a couple of days of today. And it was about the different types of experiences and skills and longings and services and support we could provide to people with people on the show. And part of it is personal experiences, a dream or a vision, or anything really that helps shape our daily lives into bringing into focus other dimensions of reality and helping us to grow in those ways. Also personal synchronicities, again, how those things impact us and what we can do about them and with them, and how we can ignite those in other people. Conversation about spiritual practices. And I like this one too, Janet. You thought finding comfort with grief and allowing it to open us to a new space. So our audience, there are so many different avenues for participating in this conversation. We invite you once again. And the number is 888-627-6008.
And you know, I'm thinking too that in my own experience that I feel that that my son and also my husband, that it's kind of an energy experience, or just I feel like we're kind of working on these projects together, and that they kind of guide me into certain things and other spirits as well. But I think sometimes spirits are with us in very subtle ways throughout the day in our work and so on, that we might not recognize at first. But I mean, you say, you know, the spirits, they are present, and that's, they're present in our heart. and with us. And I like to think of, as I think our ancestors did, that the visible world and the invisible world are created to work together in a relationship, a co-creative relationship. And in ancient Egypt, there were special rituals to connect with ancestors who had passed, those who they, the people they loved, with the earth, because they knew that when they connected with those who had lived on the earth with them and loved, that they wanted the earth to be fruitful and the people there. So it would, they would help to ignite nature and keep it healthy as well as themselves. But it was a matter of not of ancestor worship. It was a matter of co-creativity with those who had passed on, but were still working with them to keep nature healthy and to keep the individuals healthy and balanced within it. So there are just, I think, so many ways we are meant to be connected to the other side, much, much more than we are conscious of today. And I think we're learning how to do it, and that there will be a time when the visible and invisible worlds energetically and unconsciously and consciously work together beautifully to create very powerful worlds.
I agree. That's beautiful, Betty. I agree with that. And I was going to come from another angle from what Kim said, which was simply that there are different ways of connecting. And I love how I love how you said that, Betty. It's beautiful. I also think that it's important that you allow yourself to have the experiences in your own way. And I know I said that earlier, but I do like the idea that, asking for a dream. Or, you could do that even with a friend or a relative and say, could we dream for each other? Would you like to try it? And ask a loved one to come through. And I think that that sometimes is an interesting thing to do, because you're letting go of anything that you thought of that would be in your dream for, your loved one. And you're now dreaming for their loved one. And you don't even know which loved one it is, but you just say, whichever loved one needs to come through in the dream, could I give Betty a message, or could I give Kim a message? And then, you see what happens. And it's amazing how dreams, they show up in a really interesting way when it's something other than just, like I call them, sometimes we have junk dreams, which are just a bunch of everything that went on through the day. Yeah. And I think that when, we all have those. I mean, that's part of what the dreaming is. But when we do it intentionally, and we, before we go to sleep, and we ask for, a connection, and we, and it doesn't have to be exactly that night, but a lot of times it happens right away when it happens. It's really interesting. And I think then, you give it a couple nights with your friend or a relative, and then, get together and talk on the phone, or meet for coffee, and just say, what did you get? And, and then you could share it. And sometimes there's messages in there that you had no idea was going to be the message that the other person needed. Or it might be something really funny, and it might take them a couple of days to think about it. I mean, I've had readings where sometimes people are like, I don't really know. I don't know that. I'm not sure about that one. And then I get, a text an email out of nowhere. And, a couple months later, and they're like, oh my goodness, I had no idea this was what was going on. And it's like, sometimes that's the way it happens. We always put a timestamp. It's got to be now. Everybody wants it, 24/7. We need it this day. It's got to happen. But sometimes if we open up and allow it to happen the way it's supposed to experience, then we may be having, more than one thing happening. It may not only be a dream. It may be a premonition. It may be a connection to a loved one, your own loved one, that, here you're thinking, well, I'm not getting anywhere. Let me just see what I can dream for someone. It's that letting go. And that's the big thing, is I always tell people to pay attention, which and to let go and see what comes through. And I always I surround myself in light before I do anything like that or any work. And, I just kind of ask for my own spirit guides to come through. And, I have a friend who, she's always like, well, I want your guide. I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way. You have your own guide. I probably would want your guide, and it's just really funny, because I think it's important just to be open to what's going to come through for a loved one. And it could be for, it may end up for yourself. It may end up for your friend or, your relative. And And I think it's just the whole fact of letting go to see what comes through is by creating that intention. And that's sometimes it's that simple. You know, we get so involved in life, and like you said, the computers and the phone. And I mean, of course, we're on computers now and it's wonderful, but we also have to power down at times and just relax and release and say, okay, I need to create this intention. You know, what do I need to come through? I'm you know, in deep grief. What's going on? Why can I not get past this? And there's no timestamp. You know, people say, oh, it's been a year, it's time to move on. And I heard that one time. I you know, I'm a very nice person, but I wanted to smack that person because I was like, you know, it's like grief. Yeah, grief, it's individual. There's no date. It's not, you know, it doesn't take place in this amount of time. Everybody is on their own level, in their own place, in their own time. And one day they may have a great day, and the next day it might be crummy, and they might not want to go outside. They might want to just stay at home, or the next day they may want to go out and, you know, be out in the woods or go somewhere, go to a show, do whatever. I think that's, you know, grief is so individual that a really big thing is to remind people not to judge other people who are in grief and be like, well, you know, they were blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like you have to let go and just say, this is where they are, and I have to accept that. And yeah, kind of move forward.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting sometimes. We've seen a couple of movies lately in which someone died and the woman stayed in bed for 2 months. I couldn't, you know, and I said, I don't even know how that would be physically possible. But I think that we have to realize that when you feel like you've lost your soul, that you don't care about eating or getting up or whatever. But I do think, I was always impressed when I used to teach the Odyssey that they would, Odysseus and his men would go from place to place. And in most places, they lost many men and tragedy would take place. But always, they cooked their dinner, they slept, they got up and went. And I thought when I was going through my own, that's very important, you know, is at least that was my way. Now, some people can't do it. And as you said, Janet, it's all different. But I do think it's important to do the things we have to do to keep ourselves alive and healthy and in touch with others. It does help us to reconnect to the world, because I knew a woman who 20 years after her son died, she was still on medicine. And she said, I have to be, because if I'm not, I cry all the time. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different ways of experiencing it, of going through it. I think, though, that we have to keep ourselves healthy, you know, mm-hmm. alive and healthy and connected. And that helps a lot.
Right, right. I totally agree with that. Yeah. Well, gosh, we have no callers today so far.
I know. I wonder if we have any listeners.
Oh, no.
You think we're just here talking to ourselves, Jenna?
Yeah, but you know what I always say? I always say if just one person is listening, then it's worth it. Because, well, you know, that's how it works. You just, if it touched one person, then that's the person it was meant to touch that night. And that's why we do it. That's why we do it. We do it because, you know, a lot of people don't have someone to talk to. They don't. You know, they're afraid to bring up a story. And I think that's sometimes the case, is people hate to call in because they're kind of thinking, oh, well, my story might not be good, or maybe it isn't this. And I'm like, no, that's why we're here. If you want to call in and share your story, and,
no matter what,
you know,
yeah.
It's the, we'll perfect, join you. The perfect shield for the person lacking in courage in a given moment. You can just be anonymous.
Yeah.
You don't have to, there's no face that goes with your name.
That's right.
And you can just experience and share and open up and maybe get some feedback if you want, or hear from other listeners.
Exactly. We all know how difficult it is.
Well, let's give them the number real quick. It's 1-888-627-6008.
Yes, ma'am.
Did I get that right?
You did. Janet, at the bottom of your signature block from 5 years ago, I see that there's an interesting thing. I never noticed it before. TheMessengersFilm.com. Is that a thing?
Oh, wow.
You want to tell us about that? Is that something you think might be?
Well, it didn't happen. It was, they did a reel on myself, possibly making a, you know, a movie out of it. but it didn't go through. So that's okay. But it was a great lesson. And it was basically on my journey through mediumship and with my language, when my language, I started spontaneously speaking languages. And so I went on this long path on trying to find out what it was. And believe me, when you tell people that, there's people that think you're nuts and they're, you know, somebody told me they thought I was schizophrenic. They thought this, they thought that. And I'm like, okay, thank you, bye. And I ended up finding someone at the Smithsonian Institute who worked with the Smithsonian Institute, Ipupiara, and he ended up, I would send cassette tapes to him because back then that's what you did. We didn't have, you know, the internet that I could just send a file, which would have made life a lot easier. But I always look at it as the journey. And so basically they, you know, he started, you know, translating the tapes for me. And it talked mainly about they were either blessings to people or about being more earth honoring to our earth. And I ended up speaking like four different indigenous languages from South America. And to this day, they still come through. I don't always really know what I'm saying. I know that they are mainly blessings. And it's kind of like you can kind of tell when you're talking to someone, like when they're coming through, how it feels. And it's really interesting. And so, you know, that's kind of what I've been doing in life. And it started and you know, I have people along the way that are very interested in the story and, you know, it goes here and there. And, you know, we'll just see where if anything ever happens. And if not, it's been a really beautiful and unusual experience in my life because it's not something a lot of people, it's not happened to a lot of people. And
I should say not.
Oh my gosh. I bet.
So yeah. So when you end up, you know, telling somebody, you know, sometimes they just kind of look at you like, I really don't know what to say about that. And it's like, that's okay. You know, that's okay. But, you know, it's an interesting journey. And it all kind of intertwined with the whole mediumship. And I think that's why I'm so adamant to people about opening up to being, you know, to letting go, to saying, okay, what is within me that I have to give? And what do I need to learn and understand in the spiritual world? And, you know, like I said, I grew up, I've had a lot of experiences all my life. In my book, I call myself the chicken medium because, you know, when I'd see something, I'd freak out like, oh, you know, I'd jump. And then I'd be like, okay. And as I got older, it was kind of like, okay, yeah, I know you're here. And I mean, I've had the spirits touch me. I've had them grab my feet or my ankles. You know, and one of them was after one of the Signs of Life radio shows when I did it with Bob and Fran many years ago. And it was all this energy was coming through. And that night that happened where someone grabbed like my ankles or right at the tops of my feet and just to calm me down and to release the energy. And I remember I was in bed and I just kind of slowly looked up at the end of bed and I'm thinking, okay, you know, how is that? So it was pretty interesting. But oh, we have a caller.
Wow.
Hi, Danny.
Hi, how are you all doing this evening?
Well, we're happy to hear you.
Oh, we are great to hear from you. What would you like to share tonight?
Well, I had a question. So I used to do my own own tarot readings, and I used to visit psychics and mediums on a semi-regular basis. But then I got a little concerned because there was a couple of psychics who had said that they thought they were talking to, you know, dead relatives of people. But then they actually said, no, I think we're actually talking to demons in disguise. Like, I think one famous person was Doreen Virtue, and then there was another person named Jim Nissa. So I guess my question for you all is, how do you know that the people, like the spirits you're talking to, are actually who they say they are, versus like an evil spirit pretending to be a dead loved one, that sort of thing?
Okay. Well, I was going to say, I wasn't sure if you were going to jump in, Betty.
I will after you.
Okay. Well, for me, the way I see it is a lot of it is intention, that you're creating intention when you're doing your tarot cards, and that, you know, whether you're opening up to spirit, you know, I always surround myself in light. And a lot of times for me, I don't have a lot of like any kind of like negative energies coming through. I've had people that have had really hard lives or lives that I wouldn't connect to in the sense of saying, you know, I wouldn't want to be around them. They were in prison. They were this. But a lot of times the way I look at it is if, you know, we have to set our own intentions and say, what are we really feeling? That, you know, if we're feeling something that it feels like it's a negative energy, or as you call a negative spirit, maybe it's, you know, I don't look at it like demons come through to me. That's how I perceive it. I don't know if other people have had that. I think a lot of times it's like lost souls or people trying to push through. And so, you know, they like the trickster, sometimes I would call it that, you know, they're going to try to come through and say they're so-and-so and they're not. But I think what you do is you just thank them and you tell them to move on, and you got to let it go. If you hold on to that energy, then you're actually putting energy into that. So yeah. A lot of times you have to let go of that energy and say, you know, I'm not sure why you came through, but it's time for you to move on. And we are now going to go further. We're now going to move forward as well. Yeah. So that's how I personally look at it. You know, I don't know, Betty, do you have something you'd like to add?
Well, yes, it's very much like what you said. Our ancestors and modern shamans as well do exactly what you said, Janet. I mean, there is a specific ritual. I mean, not details, you can do it in your own way. But what they do is that they create a circle of protection. And that is intention. And we have to remember, intention structures the field that we're in. So we put out the intention, we create a circle in which we will be protected. And then what they do is that they call forth the energies of the north, the east, the south, the west, to protect them. And they invite only friendly co-spirits, you might say, who are also have the same intentions, into the circle to work. And so I think its intention is very, very strong. As you said, Janet, we put that intention out, and that's what is vibrating in the field. Now, if someone slips through, however, then I would say, yes, you... I think we recognize it, because if it's negative, we know what that is. But
right.
You know, as far as our loved ones and someone saying, oh, that's not our loved ones, I think we know them intuitively. You feel that very strongly, I think, that if that's what you really feel, that you're connecting with someone on the other side you love, I trust that feeling very strongly.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that there's times that people try to, I kind of want to say like butt in and be like, oh, you know, I'm trying to get through to so-and-so, or I want to stir up trouble. And then, you know, you start picking up on that energy, and you know, you have to kind of like shut it down. And that's, you know, I know some people sage, they'll go around saging the house and doing, and that's fine. I have nothing, you know, I think that's great. If that's like Betty said, it's a type of ritual to release it. But I also think that it's really important to stay focused on what you're trying to do. And when you said like other people are coming and saying it could be this or that, don't allow that. I never have allowed stuff like that to come through. I've always been like, nope, I have the light. I've always surrounded myself in the light. You know, I have a little saying I say before I do a, you know, any kind of read, or if you do a tarot, you know, come up with your own saying that, you know, protects yourself. And just, yeah, you know, right. This is what I'm allowing. And any tricksters or, you know, people that are coming from a place, you know, that, you know, they're not allowed, then, you know, it's time for them to move forward. And you never know. I mean, like, you know, I said, I've had people come through that have been in prison, and there's been some heavy energy. And I'll say right away, okay, I'm letting you know, I've got this energy coming through. And I'm not saying that they're evil, or they're, you know, I mean, they might obviously did some things that you would consider would be evil on earth, but you have to put it in perspective too, and say, they are just that energy. They're not going to attach to you. You don't have to worry if you're staying in that place of light and staying in that focused energy.
I think that's absolutely true. And even, you know, when you're working with the tarot cards, just simply, if you don't want to do like the circle ritual, but just put forth the intention of protection for the kind of work that you're doing, that it would be for the intention of all of the positive things you're working with, and that no false energy could come in. I think the intention is so powerful, and it reflects right back to us.
Does that help you a little bit, Danny?
It does. It does. It sounds like a lot of it is making sure that you do the proper, have the proper protective ritual, so that you set that boundary from the disco, that nothing beyond good, nothing that's not a good spirit can come into this space And I think that's one reason why I've heard people say never play with a Ouija board, like teenagers and things who play with Ouija boards who don't do things like that, because they don't necessarily do that piece of it. And it's almost like opening the door. Liz explained to me, it's like opening the door. Like anyone can walk in, anyone can walk in, good, bad, or in between. So it's a lot is about you trying to make sure that space is protected, that only the right type of spirit people can come into that space.
That's absolutely right. And I always thought that about the Ouija board. And I think that's definitely true, is that if it's with people who just kind of do it for fun, let's see what happens, that can be dangerous. I was a part of a group, it was called Studies in Altered States, and it was a group of professors and therapists. There were just about six of us, I think. And one of them wanted to use the Ouija board, and I was kind of shocked, because I thought, I don't know. But what we did is that we meditated as a group, and then we did the chanting with Om, and we had put forth the intention that what our intention was, and that we call forth only those positive spirits who could be helpful to that intention. And we had some of the most amazing things happen for 3 years. Supposedly, the beings were from the Pleiades. And then there were, now I don't know if they were, but I kind of trust it, because they gave just the most powerful, compassionate, loving information.
Yes.
And so I don't know. I think it's not what we use, it's how we use it. And I think you've stated it very well.
I do too, Danny. Boundaries. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You set the stage, you call the meeting, you hold those boundaries.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think that you already know, and I think it doesn't hurt to have a little backup.
That's right.
That's great. And we're your backup today. So I think that was great,
And I also want to say, Andy, that sometimes people can say things that just kind of knock us for, for a loop. Like, well, they're not really, so-and-so coming through, they're demons. I mean, they can really be kind of disturbing, right?
And how could they know if they weren't the person experiencing it anyway?
And I think we have to really trust our own selves, I've been in situations where I've seen people just absolutely wiped out by someone saying something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we stand strong in what we know, what we have put forth, what our intention is, and what our intuition is of what is happening.
Right, especially because we don't know what their intention is and where they're coming from at a certain time in their life or their place, and I think that's big too, is that people move in and out of spaces. And I think that if somebody's in a space that's kind of heavy, they're going to see a lot of things that feel heavy, and, they're going to be picking up on that energy. And it's like, you have to just be like, okay, you know what? That's where you are. I'm not in that place. This is not me. I am not, I'm in the light. And so I think that's important to, remember that. So,
I had an experience once in which I was doing a meditation, and I had created the circle, and there was some entity entered the circle, and immediately there was some consciousness within the circle that immediately got them out.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that was very interesting. And so in some way that whatever got in, I hadn't put forth my intention strong enough, I think. But there was that consciousness within the circle that had heard.
That's so good.
And got rid of it.
That's so good. Danny, that was a great question.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
For calling in and talking with us about this.
Thank you all. Have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Good time for the...
Okay. I think it's about time. So... we can go ahead and close out with our Mahayama prayer, if you're everybody okay with that?
Sounds great, Janet.
Yeah.
Okay. So may all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey.
Beautiful.
So we will end May with that. How's that?
That's beautiful.
Perfect ending.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone who listened, right?
We are grateful for our listeners, and we look forward to being with you again the fourth Wednesday.
Thursday.
Never mind. I'll just hush while I can still
give still a little
the fourth Thursday.
Yeah, the fourth Wednesday of Thursday. Of the month. Okay, everyone.
All right. Fourth Thursday of the month, yes.
That's right. Be well, and thank you. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.